the topic I was given is to talk about why might we sing in worship. And there's a lot about singing in the Bible, a lot. If you took all the references to singing out of the Bible, you'd have a lot less Bible. That was a quote from a preacher online. I was like, that's not very good. But so I have some stuff here just to kind of try and keep me on track, because I knew where I wanted to start and I know where I want to end. But the journey in the middle, yeah, could have gone on forever. Why might we sing? There's lots of reasons why, personally, you might want to sing. But I'm not here to tackle those tonight. There's lots of reasons why society might tell you that it's good to sing, but I'm not going to talk about them. There's lots of reasons why different churches would say that this song is good, or this style of singing is good, or corporate singing, or not corporate singing, or band, or organ, or a cappella, or teze, or whatever, are good or not. But I'm not going to look at them either. What I want to do is look at biblical reasons why singing matters. Because the one thing that that I know, and I hope you will know from tonight, is that the Bible makes it very clear that singing does matter. It doesn't mean singing is the only form of worship, and that's not what the preach is about tonight. But singing, according to Scripture, is not really an option. It's not kind of, well, there's lots of ways you can worship, and sing can be one of them. The Bible makes it very clear that we are to sing in worship of God. That throws up a few kind of warning signs. First of all, what if you're sat there going, but I can't sing? Trust me, when I sing, the cats run away. It doesn't attract them. Or what about someone who physically is unable to sing, is not able to actually verbalize anything because of a disability? That was very interesting to kind of look into and dig into. And again, that could be a whole other sermon on its own. But what I want to clarify, when I talk about singing, I believe that singing is sometimes is more than just what we hear, or whether it's in tune, or whether it's good enough to be in a band or on a CD. But if it is some sort of vocalization in your way, which is in adoration, worship, praise of God. So that could be wonderful, beautiful singing, like an opera singer. It could be the latest kind of boy band style, Gary Barlow, when he used to be good, kind of singing. Or it could be the tone deaf, no one likes me, so I stand in the corner, that which it does not matter. Singing is singing, and the Bible says to bring it. For those people who are unable to physically make noise because of a disability or the way that they are, I believe that actually singing is something deeper than just the noise you make. And this really struck me years ago at Soul Survivor, when at Soul Survivor, we always stand in a certain spot because that's our spot. And if anyone else gets there, we get very grumpy and we try and nudge them out of the way. In Christian love, we like our spot. And usually, in front of our spot is an area where deaf people who come to Soul Survivor will be, so that they can see the signer on the corner of the stage. And one year, we were worshipping, we've sung worship. And Mike Pilavachi, he's a big guy who kind of helps front Soul Survivor. He came out and just in a time of kind of spontaneous prayer and worship, he asked people he said, go for it, you know, pray in your own languages, in your own tongues, sing what you want, just let's have a time of just really going for it. And thousands of people, it got loud, loads of stuff going on around us. And then things kind of just naturally seemed to calm down. And Mike asked people just to continue to praise God. He said, let's just have absolute silence. He said, praise God in the silence. And therefore, it was a kind of a holy hush around the room. But one thing really hit me. During the loudness and all stuff going on, the signers were going nuts with their signing, as they do. That's how they communicate. And that's how they were praising and praying and whatever, crying out to God through their hand signals. When Mike said, now in the silence, let's pray, everyone else kind of... But the signers continue to carry on exactly the same way. And it hit me. God's like, you realize that I hear the cry of your heart, not necessarily the sound of your voice. And I was like, wow, okay, that was a moment of like, this is great. So when I'm talking about singing tonight, yes, I mean when we can make noise. But I also believe that it's about heart cry as well. So the same way that you can talk to yourself in your head, you all do it, you all know you do, you all talk to yourself in your head at one point, you hear that voice. I believe it's the same. So God hears the cry, the singing of our heart. So sometimes, you know, not being able to verbalize it is okay if there is singing within you. But anyway, like I said, that's a whole other sermon. So on to this actual sermon. I want to look at some biblical reasons why singing, as I've just explained, matters. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:16. If you've got a Bible, grab it, because it's not going to be on the screen, because it'll be too much for Gordon and his fingers would hurt. He did offer, but actually, I also like people just to, you know, get the Bibles out and look through it, and it's sneaky. Okay, so there should be Bibles on it. So in Colossians 3:16, as you all look for Colossians, and you'll go past it, and you'll go forward, and you'll go past it, and then eventually, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's in the, you know, you'll get to Corinthians, and then you'll cut forward, and then you'll be like, oh no, I'm in Timothy now, and you'll go back. And anyway, I'm going to read it. I can tell you what page it is in my Bible, but no one's got my Bible. All you need to remember is God eats pink custard. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You didn't know that God eats pink custard. Well, there we go. You're going to get annoyed because you're going to get there, and it's one verse we're looking at. Colossians 3:16. I'm going to read it, and when you get there, you can believe me that it's right. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Ephesians 5:19. Go back a little bit. This says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Added in verse 20 there. There are just two verses that are pulled out of the Bible. I could have pulled so many out. Where the Bible is telling us to sing. It is telling us to sing psalms, to sing hymns, to sing spiritual songs. Ephesians even says, make music in your heart, which I think, again, refers back to what I was talking about before, that, you know, verbal is great, and there's so many examples in the Bible right through of people verbalizing their songs, but also it's a heart cry. But quite simply, the Bible tells us to sing. It says to do it. There's a whole section in the canon, the library of books we have that we call the Bible, which is all about songs and poems. We remember King David and how he remade a name for himself through music and through singing. And there's so much of it in the Bible. So if I had to give one point to you, a biblical reason why singing matters, it's because the Bible tells us to. It tells us to sing songs to God. Another point is that, as those verses explain, when we sing, it's not just about singing to God, but we also has a profound effect on us. We start to dig into God's word, into biblical knowledge. We start to plant roots within ourselves. When we look at some of the words like we've seen tonight, and you are declaring those words, you are singing those words, very often, and hopefully, we are singing biblical truths. We are singing songs lifted out of Scripture. We know that's not the case in every single song ever written, but often we are singing something which says, well, the Bible declares this, and this is in song form. And we're not just reading it, but we're declaring it, we're saying it, we're learning it. We remember the song, the tune gets stuck in our head, we remember the words. It goes away, and it starts to have a profound effect on us. It's one of the main ways, I would say, that people start to get to grips with what Scripture says. When they hear a preacher speak, often people will go, oh yeah, we sing a song about that, don't we? Or you'll hear a verse read out, particularly when it comes from someone like Psalms. You might jump to, oh, I remember that song. Yeah, I remember doing stuff like that, because it's what we remember. So singing songs, particularly based on Scripture, is a really good way of God's word getting into us, because we take it on board and we declare it. We don't just read it and remember it. We're also declaring it with our own mouths. And as back to Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, it's saying let the word of God be within you as you do this, as you study, as you spend time together, as you sing songs to God, as you sing songs with one another. Learn from these. Take these in. Drench yourselves in this. It's why that, you know, we know that the words and songs are important. And, you know, it's a whole grey area over worship, and worship really in particular, where sometimes we sing songs and it's the tune, or it's a part of it's grabbed us, and later on we realise, well, maybe not every word was absolutely spot on. But equally, you know, I've seen some, you know, hymns which are meant to be really, really strictly from scripture, but this, they just don't really seem to grab people, and then people are struggle to worship to them. So I think there's a balance there somewhere. But we do know that what we sing is important. It's why we don't sing secular songs. It's why we don't get out the latest chart topper and go, well, this is good, this will bring the kids in, because it's not a song which is going to be worshipful to God, and it's not a song which is steeped in scripture. It's not a song which is going to be kind of almost declaring the word as we sing. Another reason why singing matters is that when we sing, we build each other up. Again, as these two verses have pointed out, that it's about, it wasn't saying on your own, it's talking about when, you know, it together, about singing songs to one another, not in worship, but as in you get together, corporate worship. Worship on your own is great and it's not wrong, but also corporate worship together in services like this, in groups, it builds each other up, it encourages us. In Colossians 3, if we go back a few verses, looking at, say, from verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. When you kind of backtrack and see Paul's teaching here, he's saying, these are things I want you to remember, I want you to do for one another. But I want you to be forgiving. I want you to be there together. I want you to be a body. I want you to be loving to one another. I want you to be peaceful. I want you to be teaching each other the word of God. I want you to be singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, psalms. It all comes together. And it's something that it really, really encourages the church when we sing, when we worship with our voices in the way that we do. Psalm 105. The first two verses says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. It's quite clear, isn't it? When we sing, not only will we build each other up by being together and absorbing the word together and encouraging one another and being loving and peaceful, but we're declaring the greatness of God. That's what worship should do. One of the biggest criticisms that modern worship songs come under nowadays is usually what's the focus of the song. Some songs can get the balance too wrong in different people's opinions, where it feels like the focus is about me and not about God. And we've got to be careful with that, but equally I think it's not as clear cut as that. Some people say, right, well, out of the seven lines there, four said I and the other three said God. So it's not always that clear. But we have to understand that, is the song declaring the greatness of God? Is the song looking to worship and point towards God and not man? And as we do that, it helps other people to not only learn the things that the Bible says, but also to understand who God is. Who is this God that we are worshiping? I spoke about that a few weeks ago. If, as we sing and do that, you can imagine if people were to wander into large events like Keswick, apparently I've heard through our Keswick holidays that they really pray for rain during the time that Keswick is on, because it drives the holidaymakers in the surrounding area into their large tents. Maybe they'll come and hear some worship. Maybe they'll come and hear someone speak. Maybe their life will be saved because the rain drove them into shelter. And you think, wow, that's quite an amazing way to think about it. I certainly don't pray for that assault survivor, because it's a closed site with tight security and people just can't wander in, so it won't save them. So we hope not to have rain like that. But can you imagine if a church became a church which attracted people because the things they were hearing in the worship and what it said about God made people stop and go, I've got to know more about this person that you're singing about and that you're singing to. Because the things you are saying, the things you are declaring sound amazing, and I want to know more. So not only does it build us up as Christians, as the church, but it also builds up others who hear. Another reason is that singing is part of spiritual warfare. As we worship, as we declare our praises to God, we are entering into a realm where angels are also part of, where angels sing and adore and declare the holiness of God. God made us to be his chosen creation on earth, so to speak. He made all of creation and said it was good. He then made mankind and said, that is very good. This is where I will put my spirit. This is who I will walk with in the garden. This is who I will send my son to die for, to surround himself with friends, to journey with, to take the responsibility of church and everything on with. So when we declare the praise of God, when we sing, we are part of that warfare going on. The last thing that Satan wants is us to be stood and declaring who God is, to be declaring praises and worship to him. Because have you noticed that it's actually quite difficult to sin when you are worshiping? It's really difficult to be singing, you know, really, like I said, heartfelt worship to God, and at the same time to be committing sin. I'm sure people have managed it, but it seems a lot more difficult. It would seem a lot more difficult for people to be in that atmosphere and to decide, okay, right now in the middle of this worship, I want to go and attack that person, or I want to go and do that, or I want to look at lust at that person there, or actually right now I want to go to the back corner and get my phone out and look at things I shouldn't be looking. It becomes a lot more difficult. Why? Because we are part of a spiritual realm at that point where we are together, but we are also with the angels as we worship and celebrate God. When we exclude ourselves from worship, from singing, then we step out of that kind of ranks of soldiers, so to speak, and we become more vulnerable. It doesn't mean you have to sing all the time, but as I said, it's a kind of a heart cry. And it's about wanting to know that when you worship, it has an effect, not just here, but in a spiritual realm, which I know can sound a little bit out there and a little bit kind of, okay, something I can't see and can't always understand. But the Bible is quite clear on this, and this is what we should do. It's the same with prayer. It has an effect, and a greater effect than sometimes we'll realize. When we sing, we are spiritually strengthened for the trials, the tribulations, the tough times. It doesn't mean we won't go through them. And I think I need to be really clear on that. Being a Christian does not make you immune to the world. It does not mean your life will be sorted. It doesn't mean everything will be fantastic. It does mean that you will have God alongside you, that he will walk this life with you, that he'll do everything that he can, and that you will listen to guide you and help you. But Jesus was really clear. He said, if you love me, then the world will hate you. If you go through these times, it's like taking up your own cross and following me. You've got to be willing at times to give it all for God, and, you know, to lose your life in order to receive it. So we will go through tough times. We will go for those. But singing can be a time that really encourages and really strengthens in those times. In Acts 16, it starts at verse 16, but I'm not going to read from there. But it, just to sum it up, Paul and Silas are effectively arrested. They're doing what they do. They're preaching, they do things. They're taken away. They're arrested and they're put in prison. I'm going to read from verse 22. Of Acts 16. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be flogged, and they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. That's one story in the Bible where singing and praise, why would they sing? They had no reason. They were following God. They were preaching the word of God. They'd been beaten up for it, thrown in prison, put in the inner cell, and even had not only hands in chains, but feet locked in stocks as well, which I can imagine must be very uncomfortable. And their response was, well, what else are we going to do? Let's just pray and sing worship to God, because that's what Jesus told us to do. That's what our scriptures tell us to do. And the effect was pretty profound. Now, I'm yet to be part of a worship set which has caused an earthquake, but I believe that can happen. I believe God can do amazing things. And it's there when we worship, when we celebrate. It didn't say they gave up. At this point, spoiler alert, if you keep reading, Paul continues. He keeps going. He keeps doing his thing. Singing can spiritually strengthen us. It can get us through tough times. Even when life is utter pants, we can still seek to worship God. Even when everything's gone utterly wrong and we are through tears and pain, we can still sing and worship God and declare our praises. And believe me, it's powerful. The time of this when this happened for me was about 3 years ago, actually. It was my mum's dad, my papa. And I knew when I was at Soul Survivor that he was severely ill. He was effectively reaching his deathbed. And that was the first time I heard the song Cornerstone. And when you think of the words of that last verse of Cornerstone, it allowed me to know that that is what can happen in that realm. When Papa goes, because we knew he was, and the last verse says, on that day, there I'll stand before the throne. And even though I was crying my eyes out, I worshipped more than I think I ever had. Do it. When you are in that place, sing, praise, worship God. Just be aware that you may then hold on to that song too much and you may irritate everyone else with it over the next 3 years. But it's powerful. When we sing as well, we are following countless other followers of God before us who have done this. This is not a new thing. Worship with a guitar may be new, but then a stringed instrument playing music to sing to God is not. It's something that has been going for a long, long, long time. I'm going to rattle through a bunch of psalms. Don't try and find them because I won't go slow enough. But Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Psalm 9:2 says, "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." Psalm 51:14 says, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, you are my God, my Savior. My tongue will sing of your righteousness." Psalm 59:16 says, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 63:7, "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." And we could go on and on and on. People have been singing to God and declaring his praises in whatever form was right for them culturally since they were able to, since the knowledge of God was there. We are continuing that. It's not even tradition. We are continuing that right way of living, that way of connecting with God. When we sing tonight, you know, our worship finished at whatever time it was, what about 9:45? But worship didn't stop globally. Somewhere at that point in the world, worship was beginning. And as that was ending, somewhere else it was beginning and beginning. It's been going on all day. Today being Sunday is the traditional day people would get together. But I would hazard a bet that actually pick any minute of any day in the week and you'll find that worship is continual. It is ongoing. So we are just simply part of that. We are doing what the church is meant to do, which is to sing and worship. And there is one kind of final thing, really, which you argue, you could say, all that is great, but you could take this one point and ignore everything else. When we sing, we are glorifying God. We are putting him in his right place. We are worshiping the Creator. We are praising the one and the only one who deserves it. So whether you think you can sing or not, don't give a stuff. Whether you think anyone wants to hear your voice or not, it doesn't matter, because it's for God. And the Bible tells us that our prayers and our praises are like sweet-smelling incense. Even if you are tone-deaf, God hears your heart, not necessarily the talent of your voice. And that is what matters. I'm going to finish by reading through something which actually kind of really struck me, and it's going to lead, hopefully, technology allowing, straight into a video. So here we go. It's called "Why Might We Sing in Worship?" We enjoy singing. It's fun. Music plays a big part in our lives, and we take satisfaction in using it to express our hearts as a tool to explore our relationships with God. It's good for us. But that's not why we sing. Singing connects us to one another. It's an activity. We do it together, and it's important. It's an important part of the glue as we gather as church. It's an expression of our identity and our relationship with one another. But that's not why we sing. Singing is a way of serving the Lord. We honor him by doing our part in providing the congregation with an environment, an opportunity, an invitation to worship our King. We honor him by setting aside our pride and trying to model worship and to be willing to make ourselves vulnerable by showing others our hearts as we interact with him publicly. But that's not why we worship, why we sing. Singing impacts my mind. The lyrics of songs teach profound truths about God. Songs reinforce biblical values and are part of transforming our minds by moving our thoughts beyond ourselves to focus upon Jesus. But that's not why we sing. Singing is a way of giving back to God. It is part of our sacrifice of praise that we prepare and offer to the Lord. Through it, we express recognition and thanksgiving to our Creator and Redeemer. Preparing an offering of music is like raising the sacrificial lamb to present at the altar as a special gift that each of us give personally to the Lord. But that's not why we sing. Singing is a form of prayer. The songs provide for us with a vocabulary to express and explore who God is and to declare what he is doing in our lives. Moments during a song when we are not singing provide little pauses to pray our own thoughts to the Lord and to listen to what he has to say. But that's not why we sing. Singing is tied to the promises of God. God promises to show up in a special way when we gather in his name according to his purposes. He literally indwells the praises of his people. He promises to draw near to us as we draw near to him. Scripture ties music to spiritual and physical freedom from bondage, to healing, miracles, repentance, and other holy actions by the Lord. But that's not why we sing. Singing impacts our bodies. It forces us to become physically involved when we express worship. This reminder of our own weakness and flesh is another part of giving ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. But that's not why we sing. Singing is something the Bible commands us to do. We are far more often commanded to sing than almost anything else in the Bible. God built us to sing. We are designed for it. He invented music. He created us, and we are specially crafted so that it powerfully impacts us as well as the spiritual realm. When we sing, we obey God's command. But that's not why we sing. Singing affects our emotions. Music bypasses our mental filters and stirs our passion. It challenges us to arise from the depths of our emotional slumber and coldness, fanning the flames of our hearts to burn brightly for the Lord. But that's not why we sing. Worship is one of the few things that we know goes on in heaven. It is powerful enough to shake heaven's very gates. Music accompanied many major events in the Bible. It led God's people forward in battle. Even Jesus' birth was announced through song. But that's not why we sing.